going to stand up here because I'm on the short side, and you'll see Will is on the tall side, 6'2". And so not that I'm self-conscious. I've been short almost all my life until I was in sixth grade. When I was in sixth grade, it was like average. But then everybody else grew. Will's been with us just since Friday. It just seems like he's been here forever. And mainly because there's a heart-to-heart connection, and I just want to thank Will for his availability of his heart and spirit. You know, there wasn't any, like, warm-up, icebreakers. Even when I talked to him over the phone, there was an immediate connection. We just jumped right into talking about Korea and his experience in South Korea, mentioned Taiwan. And I just thank the Lord for who he is. And I just got various images for a person. And I just, if you don't mind, Will, I just want to thank the Lord for you. When I think about intercessor, I think of someone given over to God that goes through the Lord's feelings and experiences. It leaves you raggedy at the end. It leaves exhausted. At the same time, it leaves you on a high. And I just immediately think of Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. And so the Lord desires to inform his friends, the prophetic intercessors especially, so that the church is not caught off guard, and the church is used by God in prayer to prepare the greater glory, the advancement of God's kingdom. Even when we pray for peace, peace itself is not the end. If it's just the stoppage of violence, there's something beyond peace, and that's the Lord's presence, that's the Lord's glory. And there's something about the Lord's timing, and there's a lot about the Lord's compassion. And so as I'm getting to know Will, all of that is flowing through him as an intercessor. You know, and so it's the kind of work that's not really spotlighted, although he's here and he's going to preach. 99% of the intercessor is in the closet. No one really sees. Not that they want to be seen. You know, that's not it. You know, but but they're seen by the Lord. They're seen by the Lord, and it's in that crucible, it's in that cauldron, it's in that intense place of heart-to-heart engagement where the human flesh, the human person is in God's presence and opens the heart and the mouth to advance God's work. And so I just honor Will in our midst. He spent a lot of time with us on Friday. We're not going to have him pray for every one of you. I'm just going to tell you, if you missed out on Friday, I am sorry, okay? I'm going to protect this man because I don't do ministry Korean style. The Korean style is, we have 5,000 people at our church. Everyone gets prayer. No, we're not going to do that, okay? What we're going to do, I think, is after his message, I'm going to ask Will to release prayers over the microphone, and we may have some ministry team members around you, but you receive. The time for individual prayer reception was on Friday. And so he spent a lot of time just pouring out his heart prophetically, sharing his incredible story on Friday. And so we wrapped up around 11. And then yesterday he had a full day, lunch, and then at 2 to about 3:45, sharing his journey, things that he doesn't typically share with everyone, just folks who kind of get him. And I just feel honored that we get him. Okay, so, you know, we get him. And then today with the elders, we had brunch or lunch. And so it's been a really incredible time. So on the funny note, Pastor Tom and Ed, big Cowboys fan. Okay, you guys have that in common. And I forgive him but he's legit, okay? He's from Texas. You guys aren't, okay? You guys are imposters. Like, How can you be a Cowboys fan if you're not from Texas? That doesn't make sense to me. But that's my inner dark thoughts. I'm sorry, you know. But Will is genuine. He's Texas, you know. And, of course, now it's Houston and the Rangers, like intra-Texas playoffs. So that's just a fun side note. But I do want to just thank Will for his life, for his openness, for his prayer, and for anointing. Jimmy was in the afternoon and goes, wow, that guy's anointing. Yeah, he is. And so he's a man who knows the Lord. So he's an intercessor. These labels don't really mean all that much, meaning he's a friend. He's a friend who's engaged, who's married to the heart of Jesus, and he's a friend to other people, and he's a friend to the church, and he's a friend to the world because God so loved the world. And so he's a friend, and he's a heart friend. And I just want to just thank Will for his heart and spirit. And so if you could join me, we just want to bless Will. We just want to. And so, tall, handsome man, if you would come up and stand next to me, but don't stand right here, so I'm a little bit taller. He's 6'2". He's got a son who's 6'4". You know, I asked him, what's he doing with his height? And so if you could reach out. See, he's still taller with, anyway, just reach out your hand. We're going to just bless our dear friend, Will. Lord, you are the weaver. You are the weaver of our stories. You are 100% the weaver, providentially, of this dear, dear man of God, William Ford III. And it's like he's been birthed into this time, your divine time, from the generations of those who went before him, who prayed for revival and freedom, praying underneath this kettle that's next to us. And the only one who knew about the destiny of the nations and your people and the need of prayer was you. And in your time, you created Will. You created others, of course, but you created this man. And just like us, Lord, flesh and blood, none of us is perfect, but that's not how you choose. You choose the ones who are broken in spirit, those who are just caught by your love. And he's been caught by your love, and he's been caught by your fire. And this fire is not just for his family or just for the U.S., it's not just for the blacks and the whites and Asians. It's not. It's for the nations, Lord. This man is on fire for the nations because your lordship, Lord Jesus, is over the nations. And in this time when there is war and rumors of war, turmoil, confusion, accusation, division, despair, you raise up prophetic intercessors. You raise up your friends. You raise up those who tune their ears to you. And they speak your words boldly, first into your throne room, but they share what they hear with other friends so that we are strengthened, so that we are not discouraged, so that we too may roll up our sleeves and say, do your work, Lord. And as Will speaks this afternoon, Father, we pray for the release and even an impartation as we hear the syllables strike our eardrums, that your spirit will strike our hearts and your spirit will fill our vessel. We ache, as Will shared, we ache for absolutes, and the absolutes all have to do with you. Yes, your nature, yes, your nature. We are tired of being tossed here and there. Every human being is tired of journeying without a direction, without a destination. Everyone gets seasick, Lord. We need something firm to stand on, and we need a home. We need a home in you. And so, Father, we pray for each and every person in the sanctuary and those joining us online, and even those who may view this later, that your people will find their home in you. They'll be grounded in you, grounded in your love, grounded in your purpose. You are awesome. You are mighty. And you are in control. You are sovereign, in other words. And out of your sovereignty, you release your grace, compassion, your joy, your creative solutions. And again, as we listen, may we find ourselves meeting you face to face, connecting with you heart to heart. Bless this dear man of God in Jesus' mighty name. Bless this dear son of God, O Father. Bless this man. Bless De Havilland and his wife. Bless his children. Bless his calling. Make way, Lord, for the nations. Release your fire. Release your purpose. Release your clarity. Release your power and authority. All these things and more we need now. Now, Lord, not next year. We need it now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Bless the Lord. Yeah, it's such an honor to be with y'all again. It's been an amazing, I felt like for a whole month, I spent 3 days with Rock Church. I mean, it's been an amazing time, and I can't thank y'all enough. For those of you who maybe hear me for the first time, you can probably blame Miss Helen for me being here. Intercessor in the house. I want to honor Pastor John and Suzanne. Thank y'all so much. But Miss Helen, he said she's the one who's been praying for me, thinking of me for so long. So thank you so much for. So thank you so much. And then Miss Brenda, Brenda Noble, Nikki's mom, and of course Holly and Nikki. Thank y'all so much. And thank you for my new Bethesda family. So I feel like family, y'all. So if you would, I'm going to dive into what we're going to talk about today. So turn with me in your Bible. Let's start first. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures to dive off into. Go to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read just verses 26 and 27. I want to talk today about our shared inheritance of revival that we have in this nation. And I will talk about revival history, probably in a way that just probably haven't heard before, because I'm going to mention some people that most people hadn't heard of, mostly because they've been behind the scenes and they were intercessors. Nothing happens without somebody praying. And but, you know, right now, with all the things that are going on right now in the Middle East and everywhere else, we need praying people right now. But also, we need to also see how we fit in the storyline of what God is doing right now. People need to see themselves in the Bible. They need to see themselves in the plan of what God is doing right now. So I want to unfold that probably in the most unusual way you maybe have heard that, because God speaks to me kind of unusual ways. I'll get to that in a second. But Acts 8 says, in 26 says this, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who he had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Isn't that powerful? There and where? Gaza, right? Whole lot going on in Gaza right now, right? It's the same area. Come back to that later. Now go with me to Revelation. Look at Revelation 5. Verse 8, probably a very familiar scripture with this church. If you've seen this probably a couple of times, but it says this: "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one of them harps and golden bowls or vials, golden bowls full of odors or incense." Everybody say incense. "Which are the what? Prayers of the saints." Now, what happens with those prayers later on? Flip over to Revelation 8 now. Revelation 8. Start at verse 3. It says this: "And another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense." What is incense? It's prayer. "And the smoke of the incense, which came from the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with fire from the altar, and he cast it down to earth. And there followed voices," or one of your translations says sounds, "and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." And it goes on to say that a third of the Lamb was destroyed and a third of the sea was destroyed. How many angels fell with Satan? A third. Every time you pray, you're manifesting Jesus' name within the earth to destroy the works of the enemy. And so we're in the middle of a major conflict right now. But I'm telling you, if you ever decided to show up to the prayer room, this is the time to show up, because God is speaking to praying people in ways you can't even imagine. So that being said, let's pray. Jesus, we absolutely love you. God, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We magnify your holy name. This afternoon, God, we thank you so much for newness of life. We thank you so much for forgiveness of sins. And we thank you so much that you still live to make intercession for us. And you lead really good prayer meetings, Jesus. You make a really good prayer partner. And we love praying with you. And Lord, you told us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's do that right now. Father, we pray right now for peace in the Middle East in the name of Jesus. We pray for peace in Jerusalem right now. Peace upon the nation of Israel. Peace upon everybody living there. Peace upon the Palestinians, Lord. Peace upon, Lord, if you're able to turn Saul into a Paul, God, you can turn someone from ISIS into a believer in Jesus Christ. You can turn someone from Hamas into a believer in Jesus Christ. You can turn someone Hezbollah to a believer in Jesus Christ. You can turn the heart, Lord, of a Hasidic Jew into a believer of Jesus Christ, just like you turned Saul to Paul. God, we ask for Damascus Road experiences again. And if the Ethiopian eunuch got baptized in Gaza, God, I'm asking you for a baptism of your Holy Spirit to come upon Gaza in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking you, Lord, where rockets are falling, let tears fall to release bombs of intercession over that whole region. Break our hearts truly for the things that break your heart. And God, let this be the greatest setup for a global awakening the world has ever seen before. Move by your spirit and your power in this hour, God. Turn tragedy into triumph so that generations even yet to be created can praise you. Tip the bowls over Gaza. Tip the bowls over Jerusalem. Tip the bowls over Egypt. Tip the bowls over Syria. Tip the bowls over the Middle East, God. Shake America to its core so that nothing remains except that which you want to stand. God, we need revival. We need an awakening. Give us the unfinished business of all those who have gone before us so that generations even yet to be created can praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank y'all so much. Come on, give the Lord a clap and a shout for that. We believe it, God. We believe for peace there. You know, I wanted to call out the praying people like Pastor John and his wife and Miss Helen. My mother's name was Helen. As soon as I met you, I thought, God sent me another praying mama to pray for me. She was an amazing praying woman. I talked about that on Friday. And thinking about your mother and just people of prayer like that. I have some twin sisters, Deborah and Evra, and Holly and, what's your name, girl? What's your name? Holly and their sister, they remind me so much of my sisters and how they pray. They pray me into the kingdom. All my life to praying people. Even my calling on a national level was owed to praying people. I remember going to a prayer meeting once. You know, intercessors, you can't blow off everything they get, but sometimes they can get flaky. I mean, intercessors, they throw up a lot of fruit, nuts, and flakes from time to time, right? They make a real good cereal box sometimes. I'm one of them, so I can talk about us. But you can't throw off everything they say or blow off everything they say because, man, when they get it right, zing, they get it right. I've been zinged a few. How many of y'all been zinged a few times by some intercessors, right? You see, you think they're the crazy people in the back of the church, and they're praying, they got their flags, they got their shofars, and their tambourines. Yeah, they like to play doing recordings. If you can't say amen, say ouch. But anyway, so I remember being at a prayer meeting once, Pastor John, and one of those intercessors come up to me. I was getting ready to do a massive prayer, my first prayer initiative for the nation. I was going to do it in Williamsburg, Virginia with my friend Dutch Sheets. And I was at this prayer gathering about a couple of days before that, and this lady comes up to me, and she says, "Will, the Lord told me to tell you that you're like a wooden spinning top when you worship. And you're getting into some new prophetic swirls that God is about releasing to your life." She said, "Matter of fact, you're like the person who plays that little flute called the fife. They used to play that in the Revolutionary War." She said, "Remember this and hide it in your heart. It's going to mean something to you later on." So I was thinking, parking lot prophecy. I mean, sometimes we're prophetic. Sometimes people are pathetic. I thought maybe it's a little bit more pathetic. I'm kind of skeptical like that. But I was going to blow it off, and the Lord said, "No, don't blow this off." So I get to Williamsburg, Virginia, and I'm there, and this little lady comes up to me. She said, "Will, the Lord has called me to be an intercessor for you, and can I meet with you for a second with my husband and a few other folks?" I was about to blow her off too, but my friend Lou Wingle was like, no. You need to go in there and meet her. Everybody wants that lady to pray for them. So she starts talking to me. She says, "God has called me to pray for people as lighthouses, as a symbol." She said, "A lighthouse is a very strong foundation so that the winds and the waves don't knock the lighthouse down. And also, the lighthouse windows, they make sure they wash the windows often so that nothing hinders the light from going forth." And she said, "The room where the lighthouse bulb is kept, they make sure that room stays empty because the emptier the lighthouse is, the brighter it shines." So she said, "God has called me to pray for several people like that. I've been doing this for a while. I have 10 lighthouses that I'm praying for like that. Lou Engle is one of them. And now the Lord's calling you to be one of those lighthouses. You're number 11 of all my lighthouses, but you're my first African-American lighthouse." She said, "I don't know why, but the number 111 is going to mean something to you." How many of y'all are a number of people? You get number stuff. You see numbers over. So she was one of those, and I was like, okay, whatever. But then she said, "You're going to be used like the Cape Hatteras lighthouse. It's this black and white lighthouse which has black and white spiraling stripes upon it. And God's going to use you to unite black and white and all the races in the body of Christ together. God's going to use you to unite us all to shine brightly in dark places to turn America back in the right direction." She said, "And the Lord told me that you're kind of a skeptic and that he needed me to give you something for confirmation. So for confirmation, the Lord told me to give you this wooden spinning top and this fife. Do these things mean anything to you?" I freak out. It was like an ugly cry. Like, "Ah!" She scared me. I mean, it wasn't even the Holy Ghost. I got scared. And she had a professional fife player play it for me. Listen, that's what God is doing right now. We're going to be caught up in prophetic swirls like we've never seen before. God is releasing new strategies. Where to pray, where to go in the place of prayer, because the place who played the fife was secretly directing the troops in the direction they were supposed to be going in. That's what's going on right now. He's rooting grounded us together in covenant love. And it's calling us to be united together because only a united church can heal a divided nation. He wants us to wash the windows of our soul and to empty ourselves of our own agendas, because the emptier we are, the brighter he shines through us. And we have a shared collective history that God is releasing through all of us right now. And I believe that's what he's doing here in this church in Covenant Love. There's a prayer bowl over this church. We read it through Revelation 5. It's not a wooden bowl. or a Tupperware bowl, it's a golden bowl. You know why? Because that's how precious your prayers are to God. And we have this amazing God who loves to collect things. He collects a few things. One thing is he collects your prayers. And the other thing he collects are our tears. All those things connected to prayer. And also he collects, remember the memorial stones that was gathered out of the Jordan River? Why would he ask for 12 stones to be gathered, right? 12 memorial stones, you see that in Joshua 4. But later on, those memorial stones show up in 1 Kings 18. When Elijah has his showdown with the prophets of Baal, he rebuilds the altar of Israel with 12 memorial stones. Why memorial stones? Those 12 stones didn't represent a pile of rocks. They represent the great-grandsons of his covenant friend Abraham, who left everything to follow him. Because God loves to remember. Give an example of what I'm talking about. If I were to show you my scrapbook from back in the day, when I was in high school, in the 80s, if I would hand you that scrapbook, you might start laughing when you saw some of those pictures. Like you see some of those polyester suits, which are coming back. So don't throw those away just yet. You might start laughing when you see some of those Jerry curls. Oh, God, please, please don't bring back the Jerry curl. We bind the Jerry curl in Jesus' name. All those grease spots on the walls, we don't want that anymore, all right? The mullet hairdo. But if I was to get that same scrapbook back, I might start weeping because I remember the battles I fought with this person and the things I overcame with that person. Why? Because memories matter to us. They matter to God, too. Think about it. Like in Redding, California.